Hi, welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Schett. Today's guest is Chuck Muth. He's the campaign consultant for the late Dennis Hoff. And on our pundit panel, we'll have Muth, Liz McMenamin, and Dave Mulligan. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
I'm Jonathan Scott from Property Brothers. I've demoed a lot of homes, and today I'm knocking down NV Energy's No on Three campaign lies. The Gwynn Center report says it's not deregulation. California doesn't actually have energy choice. Studies show competition drives rates down. NV Energy's entire No on Three campaign is a pile of rubble. Ask yourself, why would NV Energy spend $63 million to prevent competition? Nobody's paying me to say this. I'm Nevadan, and question three is about our right to choose cheaper, cleaner energy.
I'm Kelsey Grammer. My dad was gunned down at his home at the age of 38. 6 years later, my sister Karen was brutally raped and murdered. She was 18. When my father's killer was released, I found out through the National Enquirer. It seemed like a cruel joke. In my sister's case, I have been allowed a voice in the parole hearings of her killers. But that's not always true in Nevada. Question one gives Nevada crime victims and their families a voice in the process and the equal rights they deserve. Please vote yes on question one.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Schett, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Schett.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is Chuck Muth. He's a campaign consultant, a blogger, and a conservative activist. Welcome to you, Chuck.
It's good to see you again, right?
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah. Chuck, one of your candidates that you run a campaign for was the well-known brothel king, Dennis Hoff, and he died in his sleep recently at his Love Ranch brothel down in southern Nevada. No cause of death was given. The Clark County coroner is set to do an autopsy. Do you know when this will be done, and will the results be announced publicly?
Yeah, everything will be announced publicly. The coroner has finished the autopsy, but it will take probably 6 to 8 weeks, from what I understand, before you get the toxicology reports back, so the results won't be known until well after the election.
Okay, you know, Hoff's death came too late to take his name off of the ballot, and I think that there's a good chance that he may still win the seat. Do you see that too?
Yeah, I've predicted he's still going to win there for a number of different reasons. One, the voter registration advantage in that district, Ray, is almost 2-to-1 Republican registration advantage. And it's a very conservative district to start with. So I think that, especially when people realize that they can vote for Dennis Hoff, he won't be serving, but according to the law, the statute, the county commissions for the three counties in which that district lies have to appoint another Republican. So as long as Dennis wins, they'll still have a Republican representative rather than a Democrat. And I just can't see Republicans voting for the Democrat in that district.
Right. Well, having three county commissions select the candidate, because the district, you know, encompasses parts of three counties, how is that going to work? It seems like it's going to be complicated and controversial.
It's a mess, and there are a lot of factors to it. One is as you said, there's three county commissions. My understanding of statute is that the chairman of the county commission, in which the largest population resides, will chair a meeting in which the three chairmen of those three county commissions will then vote to decide who gets the appointment. However, it also appears that in statute, the population of the voting district in each county is weighted. And I believe that the population in Nye County, which is the center of the district, Pahrump, is over 50% of the voting population. So in essence, it would appear that Nye County would almost have a veto-proof majority, that whoever they rally behind and decide they want to appoint, if there was a disagreement with the other two counties, they would probably have the weighted advantage to be able to appoint who they want. But that's still up to legal interpretation, and I know the Republican Party is looking into that right now.
Wow.
It's a mess. Oh, there's, and it's further complicated, and I know you know this because you've worked in the legislature for so long. Legislators, unlike any other elected position in the state, are considered, deemed to take office as soon as the election results are certified, not when they're sworn in. So, you know, when exactly does the vacancy occur? You know, could an argument be made that the vacancy doesn't occur until the swearing-in ceremony, or does it happen immediately? Then you have the whole situation with the county commissions. The county commission makeup, especially in Nye County, is going to change dramatically between November the 6th and when they come in, because there was some hostilities with Dennis himself on that Nye County commission. So I don't know which commission is going to be making that decision, whether it's the old commission immediately after the election, or if you have to wait until January.
That's a good point, Chuck. Are there any front runners or people that people are talking about to replace Mr. Hoff in the assembly if he was to win?
I've heard, I don't know firsthand, but I've heard that there is an active campaign going on right now to urge the county commissioners to return Assemblyman James Oscarson to the seat, who Dennis beat in the primary.
Right.
And, you know, if that happens, there's going to be pitchforks and torches in the streets because, I mean, the people of Nye County, the Republicans, they spoke on this. I mean, Mr. Oscarson was handily defeated in the primary by Mr. Hoff, and I think it would be an insult to the voters and to Mr. Hoff's legacy if they were to put Mr. Oscarson back in. So then the question comes to, okay, who would be the alternative? Who would the people who supported Mr. Hoff support?
Mm-hmm.
And the two names that I've heard mentioned most often are the current Nye County chairman, Joe Brzezinski, who is very close and very supportive of Mr. Hoff,
right,
and possibly former Assemblyman Ed Goodhart, who held that seat before Mr. Oscarson.
Right, right.
And he was very close with Dennis. They were very philosophically aligned, more libertarian leaning. Obviously, he's got the experience having served, I think it was two or three terms in the legislature. Those would, I think, probably be the two front runners from the Hoff side. But frankly, I mean, we don't have a dog in that fight.
Okay, one quick question before we take a break. Heidi Fleiss did a story with TMZ and said, what contributed to Mr. Hoff's death was his diet, that he ate fudgesicles before and after meals. Can you comment on that? Do you see any correlation to the fudgesicles and the death?
Well, it wasn't fudgesicles. He would eat popsicles that he would occasionally
because
he had diabetes.
Treats.
He had diabetes, so I mean, he did have that problem. We really won't know what the exact cause of death was until the autopsy reports are released. But, when your blood sugar drops, you need to get sugar in your system.
I see.
Right. So, I mean, yes, he did eat popsicles. I can't comment. I don't know what his regular diet was or anything like that. But it's just premature to speculate on what the actual cause of death was.
Okay. Chuck, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with Chuck Muth after these few messages.
Nevada farmers have joined firefighters, senior groups, and small businesses to oppose question 3. The state's own study shows 3 would increase electric bills statewide, not just in big cities. Its scheme to dismantle Nevada's existing electricity system also threatens electric co-ops that serve 40% of our state and are vital to rural communities. Please join us and vote no on 3. Thank you.
This November, some questions are complicated, but the formula for clean energy is simple. It's question 6. Right now, Nevada gets only 20% of our electricity from renewable sources like solar and wind. Question 6 will raise that to 50% by 2030, creating more good jobs and cleaner air. Yes on 6 is simply the only way to guarantee more clean energy.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest, of course, is Chuck Muth, a campaign consultant, blogger, conservative activist. Let's get back into it. You know, kind of a offshoot subject to Mr. Hoff's death is a referendum in Lyon County on, for this ballot that seeking yes or no from voters on if the system of legalized prostitution should remain in Lyon County. Now, this was on the ballot and an issue long before Mr. Hoff's death. How do you think Mr. Hoff's death will impact the vote, if it will?
Yeah, I don't know that it will. I mean, I'm hoping that this is going to. It's Lyon County question one. It's an advisory question. So if it were to pass, and it would ban brothels in Lyon County. And there are only four there, and all four of them are owned by Mr. Hoff.
So if this passes, they're banned?
Then they would have to be closed down. There may be litigation and legal considerations. But it wouldn't ban them just by the question passing. It's an advisory question, so the county commissioners for Lyon County would then have to take the advisory results of the advisory question into consideration, and they would make a determination whether to ban them, leave them open, or make some modifications to existing laws and ordinances that govern the brothels.
Yeah, because you said advisory, so it kind of threw me a little bit.
Right.
What will happen to Mr. Hoff? Doesn't he own six or seven brothels in Nevada?
He had six. He had already sold one. He told the people in Nye County, he had two in Nye County and four in Lyon County. He told the voters in Nye County that he was going to divest himself so as not to be a distraction or a lightning rod. He already sold one, the Alien Cat House. The other was up for sale. You know, now that's obviously in limbo. We don't know exactly what will happen with that. But
yeah, I wanted to ask you, what's going to happen to those brothels with Mr. Hoff's death? Has he willed them to a family member or friend or just... Who's going to run them?
It's a good question. In the interim, the brothel in Nye County, the Love Ranch in Nye County, is closed because Dennis was the only name on the brothel license.
Uh-huh.
Up here in Lyon County, all four brothels were in Dennis's name, but also his general manager's name, Suzette Cole, who is just a wonderful woman who's been with Dennis for 27 years, since day one, and she's the business side of it. She knows how to run them. She's been managing this business for 27 years, and her name's on the licenses. So the brothels will continue to operate under her direction, and then it will be a matter of sorting out the trustees. We'll have to look at what was in the will, who was left what, and we'll just have to wait to see what the details of that are. But in the interim, Suzette will run everything. Everything will run just the way they have been.
Right, and she's referred to as Madam Suzette on social media.
Right.
I want to ask you about another candidate that you do consulting work for, and that's Danny Tarkanian, the Republican running in Congressional District 3. Now, Mr. Tarkanian originally was going to run for the U.S. Senate. Then President Trump asked him to switch races, you know, so Dean Heller wouldn't have a tough primary. I'm just wondering, Chuck, if he had not switched races, if Donald Trump did not get involved and there was a GOP primary between Heller and Tarkanian, knowing how would that work out? How would that work out?
Yeah, I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, right.
you know, from the Tarkanian side, we always believed it was going to be a tough fight to unseat an incumbent United States Senator who had just boatloads of money, but we thought it was doable. Danny thought it was doable, or he wouldn't have gotten into that race. Of course, the Heller campaign was very confident that they would be able to survive and win in the primary. It had already been a bruising fight before filing went forward, and it was better for the Republican Party overall that you didn't have that bruising primary. And as we saw with the Judge Kavanaugh hearings, you know, the Senate is so evenly divided. You know, one vote can make a difference that I think the president and the folks back in Washington, D.C. didn't even want to take the chance of losing the seat in Nevada. They believed that Senator Heller had the better chance of holding the seat. And I think that's why all of this came about, that they asked Danny, hey, we know you ran for CD3 once before. You almost won that time. You were planning on running for this seat again. Let's just stick with that original plan. And I guess they made a persuasive enough case that Danny said, yes, if that's what the president wants, then that's what I'll do, because you know, he's always said he supports the president. He supports his agenda, his America First agenda, and he just wants to go ahead and support the president however he can.
Okay. Mr. Tarkanian is a longtime fixture in Nevada politics. He's run for state or national office. Well, he's lost four or five times, excuse me, if I have that right, three on the in Congress, Senate, and two on the state level. What he's running against Susie Lee, Democrat in CD3. Is this the year, do you think, he finally goes over the top and wins the race?
I think it is. You know, a lot of people, they focus on the five general election losses without looking deeply into what those losses were.
Well, he did really good in those primaries, except
he won four out of five primaries.
Yeah, Sharon Engel beat him that one year.
Exactly. And that was the year he and Sue Loudon was in a race, and it was like, I think it was eight or nine candidates, if I remember, in that primary in 2010 for U.S. Senate. But so he's battle tested. I mean, he knows how to campaign. People know who Danny Tarkanian is. He came closest of any Republican of winning a congressional seat in 2016 against Jackie Rosen.
Right, 1%.
1%
loss.
And unlike a lot of candidates who, you know, have this great track record of winning, they're winning in districts that they should win. You know, they're the Republican districts. Danny has always run tough races in tough districts without the Republican Party support. This time he's got the money, he's got the White House, and I think he's going to pull it out.
Okay, that's a tough, you know, that District 3 goes either way. Yeah. We'll be right back with our pundit panel after these few words.
The company Wes Duncan keeps tells a frightening story. Sheriff Gerald Antenero accused of sexual assault. Craig Esty admitted to domestic violence after lying to legal authorities. Nevada Right to Life committed to overturning Roe v. Wade. High-priced lobbyists putting insurance companies before us. Abusers, influence peddlers, and extremists don't belong anywhere near our Attorney General's office. With friends like these, Wes Duncan can't represent people like us.
Nevada knows Dean Heller lies about protecting our health care. Here's the newest one.
I have not supported, will not support legislation that does weaken Medicare.
8 months later, Dean Heller voted to cut Medicare by nearly $500 billion. And now Dean Heller's party bosses admitted there's a plan to cut Medicare even further. Dean Heller's caved to them before, and he'll cave this time too. Because Dean Heller still puts his political party over your health care. SMP's responsible for the content of this ad.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to our all-star pundit panel. Let me introduce them. First, we have Chuck Muth, who was just on the other segment. And then we have Liz McMenamin. She's the Vice President, Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. And third, we have Dave Mulligan, who is a new pundit to Nevada Newsmakers. He's the author of Mulligan's Wake, a memoir of youthful travels, and a tribute to his father, who now produces and hosts TV travel shows out of Reno, also does shows for This Is Reno. Welcome to y'all.
Thanks, good to be here.
I wanted to start in rural Nevada with the Twitter account of Daniel Corona. He's the mayor of West Wendover. And he was lamenting the fact that Adam Laxalt, who won the attorney general's office in 2014, didn't win Washoe County, didn't win Clark County, but was able to pull it out because he had such a strong showing in rural county, which has less voters than the other two areas. But he was concerned that Democrats running this time are not paying enough attention to rural Nevada. His quote was, "We can't make the same mistake this time around, and love to have Steve Sisolak out in rural Nevada." So Chuck, what do you think? Will the Democrats ignore rural Nevada to their own detriment?
Yes, I think so. I think we've seen that in statewide races even prior to this year. The numbers are heavily weighted toward Republicans in rural Nevada, and I think the Democrats, it's a political strategy. It's their call. They've just figured that they're going to lose rural Nevada anyway, so they're focusing on winning bigger in Clark County to offset the loss they're going to have in rural Nevada, and then Washoe County is the battleground.
Okay, Liz, your opinion on it?
Well, I think it's detrimental for any politician to think that the rural Nevada is not important. We are one state. I have a difficulty with the fact that we're always battling with northern and southern Nevada. And southern Nevada politicians oftentimes think, if they're running for statewide office, all they need is the votes in southern Nevada because of the heavy population. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe that's the case. And I think Adam Laxalt is going to do well in northern Nevada this time. He's proved himself in many areas. I think Steve Sisolak has made a big mistake by not being up here and with the real people of Nevada, the Nevadans.
Okay, now Dave, you work in communications on a campaign for Clint Cobley. He is a Democrat running right against incumbent Mark Amadei, a Republican in Congressional District 2. I'm sure that Mr. Cobley is not ignoring rural Nevada since that is such a huge part of the district, but do other Democrats perhaps ignore it?
Yeah, I think they do, and as you said, at their own peril. I think if you just look at the political science of it, you look at the population centers and where you need to go to get the most votes. But the human side of politics, which people, I think Mr. Amadei does too frequently, he doesn't talk about it. Those are real people out there, and they need to be represented as well. And Mr. Cobley is very popular out there because he worked for the Obama administration for 8 years, saving farms, saving ranches, getting small business loans for people out there. He worked with them through the drought. And so they like him. So this is the first time that we believe somebody in CD2, which is all the way out to Elko, has a real chance in this race for Congress.
You know, in all previous races for Congress in Congressional District 2 with Amadei, the Democratic challenger has only received no more than 37% of the vote. Liz, do you think that Mr. Cobley will yes, receive more than that?
Or he may receive 40% of the vote, but Mark is such a he's such a man of the state of Nevada. He is truly what Nevada has been about all these years. And I've worked with Mark Amadei for years and years when he was a senator at the legislator, and he's just one of those people that is really easy to like. He's very personable, and he holds that rural.
You know, I've heard that too, and pardon me for interrupting. I'm curious, because we're talking about the rurals and Mr. Amadei. And Clint and Mr. Amadei have a very friendly, they've never gone low in this whole thing, which is great, because Clint's not that kind of guy. But the fact that Mark Amadei is not defending and working against those who want to frack in the Ruby Mountains, and I think that's going to hurt him in the rurals. Why doesn't he stand up and do that? I think he backs away from issues if he can, and he frequently does.
Okay, Chuck, I want to ask you something. Do you think that Donald Trump, President Trump, is going to help or hinder Republican candidates in Nevada during this election? And I want to get your opinion, too.
So. Yeah, he is helping tremendously. It could be the difference between winning and losing in some of these close races. And he's been campaigning here actively, I think, three times, you know, during this election cycle.
Right, he just was in Elko.
And the problem for Republicans was there just wasn't a whole lot of enthusiasm out there to come out and vote. And the Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Kavanaugh hearings and the mess that that was, I think has really energized the Republican Party base. They now believe that there's something, you know, at stake that they need to come out to vote for. And the president is doing what he needs to do to get that vote out.
Dave, you think that President Trump is going to actually help Democrats?
Well, I'm biased. I'm a Democrat. And I'm pretty hardcore. And, you know, I think Mr. Trump helps every single day just by going on the news. Yesterday, he came out and said, I'm a nationalist. Without, you know, he's just not a very intelligent man, in my opinion. And I think that he's just speaking to his base, which is shrinking, in my opinion. And I think Republicans are peeling off because they're tired of this. Him using the caravan and the Kavanaugh trial as examples to motivate his base. It's hate-based, it's fear-based, and I think it's sickening politics, in my opinion. And I just think that he's helping us. Just turn the news on.
Real quick, I think it's hate-based all the way around on the Democrats, and I agree. I think that we
have a
problem.
Let's hear an example of hate on the left.
What happens here is we have no central piece to go to, and I think the fear base and the hate on either side is wrong. I don't like either of it.
All right.
It's going on a lot.
Great discussion. We got to cut it right here. We'll be right back to wrap up this edition of Nevada Newsmakers right after this.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, ProGroup moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. On our next broadcast, our guest will be Washoe County Sheriff Chuck Allen. That's on the next Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you, and a good day. We'll be right back.